Our reading for Tuesday, June 30th, begins in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verse 1. For I want you to know, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed, lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. Consider the people of Israel. Are not those who eat the sacrifices participants in the altar? What do I imply then? That food offered to idols is anything, or that an idol is anything? No, I imply that what pagans sacrifice they offer to demons and not to God. I do not want you to be participants with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. Shall we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. Eat whatever is sold in the meat market without raising any question on the ground of conscience. For the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. If one of the unbelievers invites you to dinner, and you are disposed to go, eat whatever is set before you without raising any questions on the ground of conscience. But if someone says to you, "This has been offered in sacrifice," then do not eat it for the sake of the one who informed you, and for the sake of conscience. I do not mean your conscience, but his. For why should my liberty be determined by someone else's conscience? If I partake with thankfulness, why am I denounced because of that for which I give thanks? So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God, just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but of many, that they may be saved. Be imitators of me, as I am of Christ. So as Paul starts out in chapter 10, he says, I want you to know, brothers. And you might have a different version that tells you, words this slightly differently, such as the American Standard Version that says, for I would not, brethren, have you ignorant. There's a couple of different ways that you can take the way Paul is presenting this. First is that the church at Corinth was a large portion of it being Gentiles, so they would not have the knowledge of Jewish history the way Jews would. So it might be a matter of him saying, I would not have you be ignorant of these things that happened that the Jews are very well aware of. Or you could also take it in a sense of, I'm going to remind you about certain things. So whichever the case, he says, our fathers were all under the cloud and passed through the sea. So I would point you toward Exodus chapter 13 for this, for you to do a little bit of research and reading for yourself, to point out that they were under this cloud, which was a visible symbol of the divine presence and the protection that attended to them out of Egypt. And of course, pass through the sea is making reference to passing through the Red Sea as God delivered them from the coming army of the Egyptians, and that same sea did swallow up that Egyptian army. Then verse 2, he says, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And he's not referring to an actual rite of baptism, as in immersion in water, but he's talking about that all were devoted to Moses and all were following his laws, even though he's going to give some exceptions down here. Then all ate the same spiritual food, all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Don't let the language throw you off too much here. Realize that Paul is drawing some conclusions about Jewish history and some relation to spiritual concepts. So if you take it literally here, which we've already established that it's not literally, because he's using some terms to describe situations for them, such as the baptism. But if you take it too literally, then you'll be very confused. And so he says, all drank the same spiritual drink. So physical needs illustrating a spiritual truth. And so then he says, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Jesus spoke of himself this way in talking about, you know, feasting on the word, eating of his body, drinking of his blood, water of life to the Samaritan woman at the well, those types of things. And so when he says drank of the rock, this spiritual rock, he's talking about the spiritual sustenance. The rock that followed them was Christ. That means that he went with them. He was there with them. So then he gets into verse 5. Even though these statements are true, he says, nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. So they proved not to be faithful. God did not allow them to enter into the promised land. They died in the wilderness. Now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. In Psalm 78 and verse 18, it says that the people tested God in their heart by demanding the food they craved. They spoke against God, saying, can God spread a table in the wilderness? So God was not pleased with them because of these attitudes and their carnal desires that made them speak against God. Again, these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. What was the evil that they desired? Well, do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. I believe that'd be a reference to the golden calf that was made while Moses was up on the mountain. Then he goes on to expand that. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did. We must not put Christ to the test as some of them did, nor grumble as some of them did. And these things, again, happened to them as an example. So the sexual immorality, which caused them to have some 23, 24,000 people die in a single day. You could go to Numbers chapter 25 and read that passage there. I think putting Christ or God to the test is pretty obvious, especially talking about the Jews at that time. The Jews at the time under Moses, because they were constantly grumbling and complaining and demanding things from God. You can find them being destroyed by the serpents in the book of Numbers chapter 21. Then he says, nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. The destroyer there, referring to the way the Jews would talk and talk about an angel of death. And so that's what he's referring to. That would be those that died in the wilderness. Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. This final dispensation, this final time period under Christ. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed, lest he fall. Overconfidence is a common pitfall of man. And he's referring to that here. Even under Christ, they should not be overconfident, thinking that somehow they cannot fall prey to these various things. If we think, well, I can't imagine myself ever committing that particular sin, well, we might not guard ourselves against that particular sin as well. Then verse 13 that we're very familiar with, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. Will provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. We look at that verse as a verse of comfort in times in which we feel particularly tempted. And it is certainly true, but it doesn't take the temptation away. It might be comforting to know that God is with us and strengthening us and providing ways of escape, but in the midst of temptation, we're still dealing with the temptation. So yes, we rely on God for the strength, and we pray that we might recognize that way out, but we do still have to resist. And that's one of the things he's been talking about, is these people did not resist, and they were destroyed because of it. They died because of it. And then verse 14, therefore, so he's tying this into a conclusion, my beloved, flee from idolatry, something that was very much a part of Corinth, and many people in the church at Corinth had come out of idolatry. He says, I speak to sensible people, or I speak to, maybe we could say, rational people. Judge for yourselves what I say. He trusts that they can think this through and come to the same conclusions. But then he goes on and says, the cup of blessing that we bless is not a participation in the blood of Christ. The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. Consider the people of Israel are not those who eat the sacrifices participants in the altar. He's going back to this idea of unity. They were divided amongst many things that were creating problems within the church there at Corinth. And he's saying you need to be united, not divided. If you are a part of the body of Christ, if you are then a participant in Christ, then we are unified in Christ. And then verse 19, what do I imply then, that food offered to idols is anything, or that an idol is anything? No, I imply that what pagans sacrifice they offer to demons and not to God. I do not want you to be participants with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. Shall we provoke the Lord to jealousy? So he talks about participation and the bread and body of Jesus. And then he talks about drinking the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons, partaking of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. You cannot do both. You cannot be dedicated to God and dedicated to these idols. Shall we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? In other words, could we resist him overcoming us because he is jealous? So he has conveyed these concepts, and then verse 23 goes back to the idea of food. All things are lawful, not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, not all things build up. We have to make some choices in there. We don't want to harm a brother or sister. We don't want to bring condemnation upon them because of something we did out of liberty. We should be willing to give up, even though it's lawful, because it doesn't build up. It's not helpful. Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. Eat whatever is sold in the meat market without raising any question on the ground of conscience. You know, go down there, buy your meat, go home, eat it. Don't ask a bunch of questions. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. You can partake of it, you can enjoy it, you can have it sustain you. If one of the unbelievers invites you to dinner and you are disposed to go, eat whatever is set before you without raising any question on the ground of conscience. Don't go in there assuming that it might be sacrificed to idols and so begin asking questions. No, you can partake of what the Lord has provided without that knowledge. But if someone says to you, this has been offered in sacrifice, then do not eat it for the sake of the one who informed you and for the sake of conscience. Not your conscience, but his. Why should my liberty be determined by someone else's conscience? If I partake with thankfulness, why am I denounced because of that for which I give thanks? So it's okay to eat that meat if it's not in a context where it was given to idols. But if it becomes in a context in which it was given to idols, that changes the whole situation. Don't eat of it. Now he says, let's see. Verse 30, I partake with thankfulness. Verse 31, whether you eat or whether you drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Well, that means that if it doesn't bring glory to God, then we have to question those things. Don't give any offense to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God. Don't harm people's conscience. Don't harm the people that are around you, creating any sort of a stumbling block for them. And he says, verse 33, just as I try to please everyone in everything I do. He doesn't mean please them as in satisfy them to any degree, but he means that he tries not to create anything that would be a barrier to the gospel or to prevent them from being obedient. He says, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, that they may be saved. And then we concluded with chapter 11, verse 1, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Imitate these very same motivations and ideas, because they didn't just come from Paul, they came from Christ. Thank you for listening today. We will come back tomorrow as we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Please be in prayer that God may be with us all.